Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you were too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is, according to Bree, what the fuck are we talking about?
Well, before we started this, we were just talking about barnacles and how much they disturb
Disgusting. you. Disgusting. So let's just get out of the way. This week's topic is comparisons. But yes, getting into a more important topic, I was just saying if I could get rid of three things on this earth. Mm-hmm. Every single time I ask that question to people, because I am very curious, most people, the first thing they say is mosquitoes.
Okay, yeah.
Because they're irritating. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. First thing, barnacles. They're so gross to me.
I want to know, but like, how often are you interacting with barnacles?
Enough. Once a year is enough. And I also do remember as a kid, one of my friends had a cabin on the ocean, okay, and we would run around low tide.
Oh, yeah.
And one day my foot slipped
on
a rock.
Oh, that's
and
the worst.
It literally looked like it was just a cheese grater against from the sole of my foot to like halfway up my shin.
Oh.
So yeah.
So and even if you don't see them that much, they're that disturbing to you that just knowing they exist in the world.
The look of, I can't even, I was saying, not on record, but I was saying that I don't usually get that weird fear of the dots.
Trichophobia.
Yeah. A lot of people have it. I usually don't get it, but I think I get something similar with barnacles, that the fact that there's like a little gross alive rock creature.
I wish you all could see Sean's
that's
face right now.
Sharp,
talking about this.
That lives on the sides of things and they like open up. Oh, they're so gross.
Yeah.
And then I was saying when people like shave with a big like spork, they like shave them off their boats because they weigh them down.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. So I get rid of those first.
All right. So comparisons.
So if I was going to compare barnacles to mosquitoes on terms of annoyingness.
You've now got that.
Yeah.
Good for you for letting the people know about that.
Thank you.
Hopefully
I really
that was
tied that together.
Yeah, therapeutic for
it
you.
Wasn't. I actually feel like, I feel like heebie-jeebies.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Wherever you're listening, please follow or subscribe. Don't base your decision to do that off of how we started this episode.
Or do.
Yeah, or depending.
If you also hate barnacles, subscribe.
Give us 5 stars and also follow us on social media at I Can Explain Podcast and personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. Over on our Instagram, you can click the link in the bio. There's our merch, our Patreon, and let's just do it from the jump this time. I want to thank Aiden for sponsoring us on Patreon. It really means a lot. Thanks for being so generous. And to all of our other patrons, it really, 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 like, we can't say it enough. We appreciate it so much. If you want to consider throwing us a buck or two a month, we'd really, really appreciate it. And I love you a lot for it. Obviously, we put a lot of time into this podcast, so it means the world to us. And our merch is up. So we got some cool stuff. I'm wearing it right now. It's so comfortable.
It is really comfortable.
I love our hoodies.
Oh,
we've got a special guest calling in today.
Not today, bitch. It's my mom. Not kidding.
So comparisons.
Yeah.
I was going to say Sean actually thought of this topic. Then I'm like, Sean thinks of most topics.
Most? How many episodes are we at? What? 1010? 1010?
1010?
Is this 1010? 100 and something.
Yeah.
I think, no exaggeration, you're maybe up to 3. I wish I was kidding. And one of those is the ever infamous Bree's birthday.
I bring a lot to the table.
You
here.
Did create a cult classic. So.
I did. You know what? For me, it's quantity over quality. I like to put it,
that's
put the memorable.
The opposite
ones.
Of what you're doing. You've done no quantity and also, sadly, no quality.
I'm just here for the laughs, okay?
Yeah. At my expense.
So, yeah, another special topic brought to us by Sean.
Here we go. Big brain me.
And he can't read, but he can think of topics. It's amazing. I think this is an interesting one because I think that everyone suffers to some degree with comparison. I think people always have, but I think with the new age of social media, it has increased.
Oh, it's amplified, baby.
It is nuts out there. For everybody. Let's start there. Let's start with everybody. And then we'll siphon into the queerness aspect.
Totally.
I think it's absolutely just such a dumpster fire that it's so easy for us to compare these days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before social media was such a huge thing, or even when it was like kind of new, you know, people had Facebook or MySpace, whatever. It was like really hard to directly, in a quantifiable way, compare yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, everyone, like, time old tale, you know, you look at people in your high school and you feel like someone's prettier, or you feel like someone's maybe fitter, or you feel like, oh, that person is more popular than me, or they make people laugh more, blah, 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 list goes on. And someone can say to you, well, no, because I actually find you more attractive. Or, no, actually, I think you're funnier. Or, yeah, they might be popular to those people, but these people like you more. Or it might seem like they have the best life ever, but actually XYZ is different. And I think that continues to be true, obviously, in this day and age. But it makes it harder to debunk or debate when you have direct analytics of who's doing better than who.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
I think for everybody, and unspecifically straights,
yeah.
right now, a big thing that I don't know, came to terms with how much comparing is going on, was, you know, all those memes and tweets about how 13-year-olds looked when... this is what I looked like when I was 13. This is what 13-year-olds look like now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's a joke, but just the fact that there are 13-year-olds, I'm just using an example, don't quote my exact years or whatever, just the fact that there are 13-year-olds that have already such specific physical traits to exemplify and to recreate is like shocking and haunting to me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, this is what 13-year-olds look like. Yes, because you used to think it was okay to enjoy horses or something and let people know that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's weird, right? Because I think that now I'm kind of seeing it go a little bit more the other way of, like, people, like, really young people, like, on TikTok and stuff, trying to make it, like, known that, like, it's cool to like whatever you like.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're still, like, really far off of that. And even that, then it becomes this weird subculture of, like, it's cool to not like what the cool kids like. And then that's, like, a whole other game in itself.
Yeah.
For me, the crazy moment of that was seeing those memes, and then also me and my sister one day were randomly talking about old Disney, okay? And just for fun, you know, like a lot of times in magazines or on Instagram, you'll see like throwbacks pop up from like old stars or Disney stars or whatever it may be. But just for fun, I was like looking up on my phone while chatting with my sister about it. You know, old pictures of the infamous Ashley Tisdale red carpets, or like Miley Cyrus or Selena Gomez, and all these, like, you know, Disney stars, starlets, if you will. And what was wild to me was looking at it and mentally thinking, those look like real people.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean that in like a shady, like, oh, now people are so over the top. Like, look, I want to clarify, I don't mean it in a, like, they looked natural way, because they were still wearing a lot of makeup, you know, for their age. They're, like, you know, fully done up on the red carpet. Obviously, they had their own, like, you know, stylists and all these other things. So they were still, it's not like, just because it was, like, back then doesn't mean Selena Gomez just rolled out of bed 12 years old and got on the red carpet. She still had this whole thing. But she still looked like she was 12.
Yeah.
And she's still...
Now you see, like, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is a 30-year-old woman. Not, and I'm not age shaming her at all.
No.
She's a gorgeous young woman, but she's a young woman.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I remember looking at it and just being like, huh. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, and this is going to once again come off poorly, but I think
nice.
It speaks
keep going, yes.
I think it speaks to the fact, not, it's nothing against these women, because obviously they're beautiful young women, or were, now they are, you know, not old women, but just
ancient.
Women. Yeah, ancient
like
women.
Your age.
Yeah, exactly. But at the time, I just remember looking at them, and I'm like, even my brain is so skewed now that I'm like, wow, like, they were picked as the leads on the show. They don't even look that pretty. That popped into my brain. And I was like, what the fuck have I been conditioned to see now that I'm looking at, like, the, you know, High School Musical stars, the Selena Gomez's of the world, the Hannah Montanas, who are literally picked as being, like, beautiful, young, preteen women to star in these shows. You know, you can only imagine how many young girls auditioned for these roles.
Yeah.
And Disney was like, yep, that's the model one, right? And I was like, meh. Not in, like, a mean way. Like, I just genuinely, that just popped into my head. Because now you see, like, the Dove Camerons and the people that are so, like, over the top, not more beautiful, but
yeah,
more...
not, like, super hideous Selena Gomez, you know?
Oh my God, like, you're gonna drag me for this. You know what I mean? Just because, like, she looked like someone who could have gone to my high school.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm trying to say. Is, like, it doesn't look that unattainable. And I think that was, like, something really magical about that time. Is, like, obviously, they were beautiful young girls, but... They were relatable. Like, they looked like someone that, yes, they probably have been the most beautiful person at your high school, probably, but they looked like someone who could walk down the hallway at my high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas now, it's so over the top that it almost is, like, so unrelatable that it's like, well, no one looks like that.
Yeah.
But your brain, because you see more and more of it, starts to think that people are supposed to look like that.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm the only person that doesn't look like this.
Yeah.
And every other person looks like this.
Looks
and
like this.
And they somehow fucked up making me.
Yeah. And it's, like, really fucked. And I think it's getting more and more fucked, not just because of social media, but in 2020, because now kids are getting less and less in-person interaction. So at least, you know... in regular times, like, social media is so hard.
You can see all the real uggos.
But then you
person.
Go to high school and you're like, oh, right.
Everybody's still uggo.
Oh, right. We're all still ugly. But now there's no time that the curtain's pulled back.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're just constantly thriving off of seeing these filtered, edited images. And by the way, for anyone out there who thinks that you can't edit video,
let me tell you, go check out Bree's channel.
Okay, I will say this. I have never edited any of my videos, and I've only filtered my photos because I will have to go to therapy if I ever facetowned.
Right.
I will have to go to therapy. I'm already bad enough as is. I went through this rabbit hole once where I watched all these videos of people doing their Facetune photos, like Tana and all those big influencers, YouTube girls that do it. And they're like, this is how I Facetune. This is me before and after. And they press the before and after. And I'm like, I don't need to
see
that.
Well, we just went through Tana's Instagram and she creates, and honestly,
she creates
not
a
to
new person.
Shame her, no. Because she is an artist.
Oh,
she is a
Facetune
artist. Sculptor.
Yeah. No, seriously, like, how do you Facetune that well?
Genuinely.
Like,
I don't even know how you can use an app to create a new person,
like,
but she does.
She remolds
and she
her
is,
entire
she is a gorgeous
person.
Girl before creating, before even new Tana.
I know. And it's wild. Like, that's the thing, is people are so good at it these days. Both, like, there's Facetune video, there's regular Facetune. I purposely
Facetune audio, which we use.
I do not have the apps on my phone, because if I had them, I'd be like, Should I dabble?
Yeah.
And I'm like, then I will hate myself.
Absolutely.
But, like, I can understand the pressure of all these people out there that are seeing all these, like, perfect face people. And something that's really gotten disturbing to me lately in regards to that whole, like, everyone looking perfect social media thing is I'm starting to get comments on my YouTube videos about how brave I am.
That's the word.
Brave.
Yeah,
I'm brave because I'm ugly.
Bree, you're so brave for coming on camera.
Showing your hideous fucking face. That's how it feels when I read those comments. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I got one just
Bree,
before.
You are so brave for usually being a gargoyle on the side of a bank. But for climbing down today and filming a video.
Like, literally, like, I got one this morning and I literally looked at it and I was like, it was like this very, like, eloquently put thing about how, like, it's so hard to look at all these perfect, beautiful influencers and she really feels it's nice to come and not see a beautiful person.
See something incredible, almost too attainable.
Too relatable, okay? No, but, like, the thing is, like, I see what this person was saying, but it's funny. Because now, me, unedited, without makeup
brave.
On, is brave. Yeah. I'm brave for showing my unedited bare face.
Yeah.
that's fucked. Like, that's where the world is now, where it's brave.
Brave.
Like, I'm getting medals. I'm getting awards on YouTube for showing my fucking face the way it is.
Yeah, you're going to be at the Streamies for bravest YouTuber of the year.
And we want to bring on the Ugly 2020 yeah. Award for bravery of just owning your ugly self.
Like, everybody watch out. We're going to draw the curtain.
Like, actually, and I'm like, holy shit, this is where we've come, that I'm like doing one of my, I'm doing Vlogmas right now.
And you're like, I feel gorgeous.
And I'm like, I literally, I'm like, ooh, lighting's good. Okay, I think I look cute. Like, do I think I look my best? No, I haven't brushed my hair yet that day. I have, you know, I haven't put any makeup on.
Yeah.
But it's not even like I'm trying to do that for a bit, you know? I don't even acknowledge it in the video. Yeah. Like, it's not like I'm in the video and being like, oh my gosh, just guys, this woke up. Is wild. Like, haven't done my makeup today. Ooh, like, it's literally like just like, hey guys, like, today I'm fucking, I don't know, building a snowman out of Parmesan shavings. What do people do for Vlogmas?
Not that.
I'm gonna do that
I'm
now.
I'm vegan, you piece of shit.
I'm gonna buy all the Parmesan in the world and then just waste
That's
it.
That's brave.
Anyways, and I'm literally, and people in the comments are like, the bravery in this video.
Honestly.
Hey Gabers, this episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
So, yeah, we won't get into the queer part yet because there's still more to break down on just the looks aspect of it. I think, looks and other things. I do a lot of toxic shit to myself. Mm-hmm. I got mental illness in it.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of fucked up shit to myself. Yeah. Got the depression, got the anxieties, got all that fun shit. Got some fucking self-harm in there, you know, trigger warning. I guess it doesn't work if it's before. I mean, after. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of fucked up shit to myself. But I'm realizing, and this is the reason I wanted to talk about this topic on this episode. I'm realizing as an adult, probably the most toxic thing I find myself doing to myself is comparing myself to other people, and not even in just a physical way, because that is a big part of it, especially 2020 has been a fucking bitch, but for comparisons, it's honestly, it got to the point that I was in like not a great headspace and was like, wow, I haven't worked out in a while. And then I go on Instagram and everybody is like toned and skinny and, you know, like this incredibly unattainable body image that's mostly just genetics for a lot of people.
Totally.
And then with 2020, there's a whole nother fucked up thing that you compare or that I compare, which is like success, career.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. How other people that I, you know, went to school with are doing in their design careers, like just fucked up shit.
Totally. Yeah.
And honestly, I genuinely came to the conclusion that I think that is at this point in time, the most toxic thing that I do to myself.
Yeah. And it is. And it's weird acknowledging that, but it's also like, it's something that's really hard to unlearn.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I have checked myself. I can't even count the amount of times I've said, you know, comparison is something that you should not do. Like, step away from your phone. Like, stop thinking about how that person's doing it. Like, they're not you. It's, you know, a different path. And then it's easy to fall back into. Like, I clock myself on it sometimes. And then, you know, a week later, I'm like, fuck.
I gotta be brave again.
Bring out my bear skin.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's crazy because I think that especially for me in every career space. I think that's very, very normal. And I feel that in a lot of different career paths that I have. But for me, with the social media creator component, it's hard because, like, in certain industries, you could be like, oh, yeah, well, they do better there. But, like, maybe their company, they have to, like, work longer hours. Or, like, maybe I actually make more. You don't really know what people make. Or, like, oh, yeah, but they have to, like, commute that far. Or, like, oh, they only got that job because they know the fucking dad of the company. Or, like, whatever the hell. Like, there's all these ways you can kind of talk yourself off the ledge about it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to being a social media creator, it's, like, so cut and dry. It's just, like, people like them better.
Yeah.
That's how it feels, right? And it's like there is truth to that. And, you know, so-and-so posts can post like almost the same type of content. And I'm like, for whatever reason, people like that person
or
better.
Or the exact same and, sometimes.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, the exact same as mine sometimes. Yep. And it's hard because us just like subtweeting people and shading them.
Listen, we have nothing else.
Honestly, we have nothing else left. Yeah, and it's hard sometimes. Like, and I do have to like consciously, because it's very toxic to do to yourself. And like, I have been in those spirals where I'm like, I must be doing it all wrong. I must not be funny. I must not be relatable. I must be saying it wrong. I'm not this enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not pretty enough. I should do X,
Wait, when
y,
do the comparisons start?
So you're like, I'm hearing truths.
Yeah. I'm like, and then?
We could get to the things you make up in your mind now. The one thing I do have on them is bravery, okay?
You are the bravest YouTuber.
No, and it's hard because you're like, okay, like, I post just as much content or maybe more and like whatever, and they're like growing faster, they're doing better. And there's only so much you can be like, oh, the algorithm this, algorithm that. It's like really easy to just like directly with numbers compare yourself.
It's also so odd to compare things like success and career,
yeah,
because of how much of a farce, yeah, people showing that online is.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
Like, it's like, wow, I'm not as successful as this person. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, their entire life is a lie.
Oh,
it's like, wow, I wish I had all these nice things. Meanwhile, they're literally like 200 grand in credit card debt.
Oh, yeah. You know? 100%. So. And I think that has been something that's actually like, I'm kind of ashamed to say it, that I couldn't just do it on my own. Something that's been very helpful for me is getting the opportunity to see behind the curtain for a lot of those people.
Yeah.
I don't like,
I'm like,
to
I'm poor, but they're secret poor.
So. It's like, I don't want to make it sound that I'm happy that their
fail.
Lives are miserable. But it is kind of weirdly refreshing when you've spent a certain amount of time comparing yourself to another individual or set of individuals, and then you meet them in person and you're like, oh, they're miserable, or their relationship isn't actually that great, or whatever it is. And then the frustration transfers from like feeling like, oh, I want what they have, because you're like, I don't want that now that I've seen what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
To then, once you've seen behind the curtain, you can't unsee it. So seeing all of their followers, like, believing this farce that they're kind of selling them and, like, wishing that you could kind of, like, rip that away is, like, such a weird thing. But, like, obviously, why would you? Like, why would it benefit anybody? But I do think there's a certain part that's frustrating, speaking, once again, as a brave YouTuber out here being real, authentic, and brave. When people are not doing those things, it's kind of like, oh, you're adding to this, like, understanding that, like, life is, like, fairy tales and perfect. And I do see it bleed over into the people that are being more authentic, which is kind of weird and frustrating. Like, for me, I'll talk directly about how I've seen it affect me and my relationship online, is people equating the success of my relationship to how often Julia shows up.
Nice.
In my social media.
Right.
Literally, because like people are so,
they're like, I've never seen her. They must be on the rocks.
No, literally. People are so brainwashed by these couples that are like doing every TikTok dance together, every video together, every Instagram story together, every post together. I'm not saying that for some people that isn't real, but I am saying that it's not for everybody in the way that they present it. Like, it's very like business oriented. Like, we're hiring professional photographers to take these shoots because we know that they do well, and we know that we're going to get bucks off of this, and it's going to help us grow. once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Get your bag, do your business. But when you're not also showing the other side of the hardships, or when it's like just always sunshine and rainbows, like you're really selling that, it does like make people believe that when someone isn't doing that, it must mean that their relationship isn't as like strong.
Well, yeah. And that's also, I think you compare your relationship to influencer relationships that you see, and you say, hey, look how happy these people look. Yeah. That is them expressing their happiness. And I can say from experience, the couples that show it the most on social media are not the happiest. I would say the polar opposite. Yeah. And if you met Brie and Julia in person, you would be disgusted by how constant it is in person.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is people are always like, I have DMs all the time. People are like, are you and Julia just like very like separate from each other? Like she just doesn't show affection.
You guys just aren't like affectionate, touchy feely.
You guys just don't like to like be like, you're not really romantic. And I'm like, people that know us in person are like, you guys are fucking disgusting.
They just to prove how disgusting they are, because this is the one that haunts me the most. They sleep like on top of each other, basically.
Yeah.
They noodle themselves together.
We never let go.
And sleep like that. Like faces touching.
Like koalas.
It makes it sound like I've seen it, which I haven't, but you've described it.
Yeah.
And that to me is just so wild.
Like if Julia, like, okay, our thing, like now once we're on the topic, just to like cement it in. If we do decide to face opposite ways when we sleep and not be fully entangled, we have to have both our butt cheeks and our feet touching.
Because
we want to feel like we're connected together. So our bottoms of both of our feet touch and our butt cheeks touch.
Well,
together.
That's the thing that people aren't seeing in the post, though, is that they're seeing you, but Julia's feet are underneath you, intertwined with your toes, you know?
What I need to post more is our butt cheeks touching.
Yeah, touching. You know, well, I really think that's a whole different...
Coming to OnlyFans 2021.
Oh my God, Kay, speaking of OnlyFans... Uh-huh. I'm such like a money driven person. Uh-huh. I know you're even more than I am.
Yeah.
It's funny because I have even found myself comparing success to people that are on things like OnlyFans.
Right.
And I'm honestly like, well, I could just do that if I wanted to make that money.
Yeah.
And I'm literally comparing myself with a situation that I know I'm not cut out for, and a situation that I know is outside of my comfort zone.
That you wouldn't be comfortable doing.
Because I'm like, it's so easy for them. Meanwhile, I don't know their fucking life. They could be so uncomfortable with it. They could be in a situation that they need cash. Like, there's so many different levels.
I know.
And I'm honestly like, it's just so easy. I could do it. And I'm like, I literally could not do it.
Because that's the thing. Like, part of the sell of sex work is making it look like it's all fun and rainbows, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to see a miserable sex worker.
Yeah.
Like, no one's paying for that.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, but it's true. It leaks into all these different avenues, especially now that everything is more social media based, which we've talked about before. We both think is an amazing thing that these sex workers have this platform to do that and make their own money and be in control of it. But also, like, it's now becoming so mainstream that you see people, like, speaking about Tana again, which is the perfect example across the board. Like, what I just saw a vlog the other day that she was like in behind, like in one of the little clips, and I forget who was vlogging. Anyways, she was like shaking her ass in front of a car, and someone was like, how much money did you just make for that? And she was like, probably that video, probably 30 to 50 grand. And it was like her wearing a thong. And obviously, this is Tana.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, obviously, she built a, you know, 10, 20 million following before. So her ass has more money on it. I'm not saying everyone makes that money. But it was just like that moment of just being like, ugh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
And then I'm like checking myself, like... First of all, you're not going to go stand anywhere and shake your ass and make 30 grand for
you. No one wants to see a brave OnlyFans creator. OnlyFans.
Just my OnlyFans name is Bravery.
Bravery.
Bravery. That's a great name for me.
Braver Bree.
Bravery. I just like my name being Bravery. Like, that's my first name.
No, I like Braver Bree.
Braver Bree.
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay.
Bravery Williamson is my name.
Okay.
When I'm on OnlyFans.
So since this is a queer-focused podcast, should we talk about queer
comparison? Yeah, we probably should. Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I don't do it as much anymore, but let's talk about toxic comparisons.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Oh, what?
Comparing my queer journey
to
someone else's queer journey. And I remember especially like a big chunk of it was I wasn't really the Instagram generation, but I was the YouTube generation,
right.
The Tyler Oakleys, yes. That. And seeing happy queer people and people being out and me comparing like if you could just fucking muster up and come out you would be so happy, you know, and it's like did I fucking really need that on top of my brain as
it's
well
so fucking
no
traumatic
I
can relate to that. Not so much before I was out. This is kind of weird, like I'm kind of the opposite. Before I was out, I never really watched YouTube or anything like that. Like, I just honestly didn't even know about it. I was so, like, in a circle that I didn't even know, like, gay people made YouTubes. I didn't even know, like,
you didn't know gay
like
people
that.
Were out there, like, or
who,
existed.
What?
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea. And then once I was, like, kind of, like, out enough, like, to certain friends and stuff, and I was on, like, the whole, like, Tumblr page, like, I did have that comparison of, like, being kind of frustrated. Like, I would see all these people, like, in long-distance relationships with their girlfriends over Tumblr, and I'm like, I can't do that because I'm not out. And, like, they, like, would do the meetups in the airport. Like, they'd fly to each other and, like, post it on Tumblr. And I'm like,
dress up as a butler and, like, I'm your ride, you know? And they were their ride, but, like, not in that sense, you know? That
exactly.
Whole thing.
And I wanted to do that. No, but, like, for me, I would always be like, oh, like, I wouldn't be able to tell my mom where I was going.
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't do that. Like, and I don't want to have a girlfriend because then she's going to ask me to do that cute thing that they do on Tumblr and I can't do that. It was like, that was my relation to that comparison. But something I've noticed that I'm doing recently, and maybe people can relate to this, listen.
Can I guess what it is? Because
sure.
I think I do it as well.
Okay.
Comparing yourself to people that are out and enjoying life young.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that so fucked up?
It's so fucked up. Okay. I'm so happy. Happy you relate to this, but like it makes me feel less like nuts.
It's so fucked up and it's so selfish to see a young queer person and be like, I wish I could have had more years of happiness.
Yes. It was just crazy, right? Because like here I am sitting in my like out and proud life. I've got this like beautiful girlfriend. My family is supportive and awesome. I get to make money off of like talking about the fact that I'm gay.
Brave.
And so brave. And like, you know, check. So many things that when I was younger, I would have never thought I would get.
Yeah.
Genuinely in my life, I would have never thought I'd be where I am.
And now I'm like, I wish I had them earlier.
Now I'm on fucking TikTok and I'm seeing these 14-year-olds with their freaking girlfriends being all happy and out and being like, yay, like pride, like blah, 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 blah. And I watch it and I'm like, fuck you. Like literally, which is so fucked.
It's so gross.
Why am I angry about this?
When did we become like the witches in Disney movies that harvest youth?
Yes. I'm literally like, oh, would have been nice to live my high school years, not miserable, crying, closeted, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like instead of looking and being like, oh, isn't that great that people now have that high school experience?
Wow. Isn't that great that there's been enough of a shift in mindset towards queer people that people are comfortable coming out at a young age and have parents that accept them and are comfortable posting it online? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so happy and proud to be in this community that we've grown in this way instead sometimes, which honestly, I will give myself an out here. Most of the time, that's how I feel.
Exactly.
Most
I would say
of the time.
99%.
But the fact that there's a tinge of wanting to become
There's a tinge of that, like, oh, well, if I had been able to be 14 and out, like, my life would have been better, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what is wrong?
It's so fucking weird.
Like, it's so weird, but I think it just comes from that, like, place of, like, how much life sucked for me at that point.
Yeah.
Obviously, people have it way worse than I did, but any queer person can relate to feeling like, fuck, I feel so stuck, my life sucks, I can't be my authentic self. Like, I had to go through years of unlearning all this, like, internalized homophobia and all this stuff. And I'm like, these fucking kids don't even have a chance to learn homophobia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so wonderful. But also a small part of me is angry that I didn't get it.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I don't know what that is. So, like, that I'm...
It's so weird to, like, still have to, like, unlearn things like that.
Yeah.
And we're fucking coming at this as, like, two cis white people.
Oh, 100%.
You know? Like, the layers of ours are much simpler.
Much simpler.
And easier. Like,
yes.
Fuck, we're the worst.
I remember when I first went to, like, a gay event, meeting this person that, like, looking back, I didn't really, like, think about how old they were. But, like, I think I was probably, like, 18. And they were probably, like, late 30s or something. And most people, if you've been to queer spaces, you know that there's only so many of them that, like, the age range is quite large at most of these queer spaces.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to any gay bar and you're going to see the, like, 65-year-old drag queen and, like, you know, elderly gay couple as well as these people that clearly have fake IDs. Like, it's such a range. And I remember me and this girl were, like, dancing. And this, like, in my mind, my perception at the time was, like, this bitter old lesbian going by us and being like, must be nice, or, like, made a comment like that.
And now it's, you're that.
And now I'm like, I'm the bitter old lesbian.
Yeah.
I'm the bitter old lesbian.
You are.
I mean, not that I would say that. Like, I'm not that bitter.
No.
But I would only say it to the thousands of listeners that listen to I Can Explain podcasts.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, so in the tight-knit community safe space we have here,
yeah.
I will divulge that every once in a while I retract to that space. And I remember thinking that was so weird when I was, like, 18. Because I remember kind of, like, feeling like me being there was really awesome, and it did feel really awesome in so many ways, obviously. But I remember not understanding how anyone else could not feel like it was awesome. Like, why wouldn't they just be so stoked that younger people could be going out? And her vibe was totally like, you don't get how it was for me back in your age and day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the
You're
only
like,
difference
we're the same
now-
age.
I'm 52.
Yeah.
The only difference now is that it's shifted a little, like, 6 years younger.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm now annoyed at that shift of 6 years.
Yeah.
I'm bitter and old. I'm the bitter old lesbian.
Yeah. It's just such a wild thing. And I think it just kind of goes back to, I really just need to be appreciative of what I have, mm-hmm. and my own journey,
yeah.
and how I got here.
Yeah.
And it's a really, every way you look at it, career, body, bravery, queer story, everything. It's like a grass is greener kind of
totally.
Situation.
Yeah, 100%.
And like they say, the gardeners, they say grass mm-hmm. is greener where you water it.
Ah, those gardeners are wise.
They really know something.
Yeah, they know something.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I've noticed it a lot lately, ever since getting on TikTok. I don't know if it's just because it's a different demographic. I almost said younger, but it's not. Like, a lot of people that are commenting this are all sorts of ages, honestly, when I think about it. But I never really get these comments on YouTube or Instagram, so I'm not sure if that's why this is. But I've noticed a lot of comments on TikTok in regards to the comparison thing.
Right.
Specifically when it comes to being queer. A lot of people, like, questioning their queerness because of the amount of people that they've hooked up with, or that they haven't actually dated someone that matches their identity yet, or you know, that they're X age and still not out, and that makes them feel like, you know, well, how could I be queer, or maybe it's too late for me.
Yeah.
So many different questions across the board that all kind of tie down to the same thing of people seeing these people that are, like, out and proud and living their lives and have maybe dated multiple people or have hooked up with a lot of people and feeling like, okay, well, I'll never get that, so I must be lesser than. Like, either my queerness is less valid, or I'm, like, shittier and less brave, or, you know, like, all these things that you kind of put on yourself. None of which are true,
yeah.
by the way. Like,
yeah.
we got to say that. And my answer back is always, like, everyone's on their own path. Like, there's no right time to come out. There's no, like, age that seems too old. You don't have to have dated anyone else or hooked up with anyone else. And you always answer those things, but you can tell that, like, that doesn't really change it for those people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it ties directly into delayed adolescence.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, you, like, that doesn't help. Hearing that doesn't really help.
No. And I think that why that's a newer thing, and maybe why I'm noticing it more on TikTok, is because of these people that are younger these days being out and proud. It's like more people are seeing more people being out and happy and proud and, like, seemingly living these perfect lives at younger ages, so it puts even more pressure on them.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you see something being more accessible for other people,
yes,
if it's not currently or wasn't recently accessible to you, you kind of go into a little panic.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so fantastic that representation is getting more and queerness is being more normalized and there's all these people that are out and like living their lives as their true selves. Like there are like a boatload of reasons why that is so fantastic. But I also can see the fact that, like, for example, for me in my high school, no one was out.
Yeah.
So at that time, the only pressure that I had about coming out was with myself. I wasn't looking at a plethora of people going, oh God, everyone else is out and I'm last to it.
Yeah.
In fact, it was the polar opposite. I thought I was the fucking only one. So I was like, how am I going to be the only one? So when I was younger, my issue was lack of representation. And now I'm seeing it kind of like turn to a lot of people feeling like, that here are all these people that seemingly just can do it so easily and be so fine and they have no problems with their families.
Yeah.
Like, why is that not my situation? And that's frustrating.
Yeah, before it was like, oh, I'm so scared to come out so early. And now it's like, I am so late to the party. Yeah. Everyone on earth is gay.
And people are like, I'm 19 and I still haven't come out. I'm like,
yeah, can I come
what?
Out?
like, do you think you're old?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, or people, like, a lot of people think that, like you said, not having hooked up with or kissed someone that fulfills their sexual orientation invalidates their sexuality.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like I'm 18 and I've never kissed a girl. Am I actually a lesbian? You know?
I know, and we laugh, but I get that shit all the time.
Totally,
and I'm like, oh my God. But it's because all these people are seeing these, you know, 15-year-olds on TikTok with girlfriends out, all these different things. And it's like, that's so amazing that there's that representation.
There's a dark side.
But there is a side that I think it causes like a lot of comparison, like feeling like you're behind.
Yeah.
And to anyone listening, there's no right time. And if anyone has a problem with the fact when you're trying to date or whatever, that you haven't dated someone of the same gender or whatever gender fits your identity, or that you haven't hooked up with someone, if they think that's a problem, then that's on them. And
they're toxic.
Yeah, and like red flag, and you've been alerted and dodged a bullet on that one. Yeah. So comparison is, what is it? There's a saying, it's like comparison is...
Not good.
Not good.
I think that's the
same. I think that's it. It really rolls off the tongue beautifully. Comparison is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are probably going to get that tattooed on them
probably.
After this.
I think that's I would say it's a Breeze quote, but it's so common.
Yeah.
It's so out there that it's not yours, you know?
Yeah. It's just
it's probably deep. Aristotle's
brings,
or something.
Yeah, it brings like tears to my eyes really, when I say comparison is not good. All right. Well, now that we're leaving you with that little bit of wisdom, wherever you're listening, make sure you're followed or subscribed, and make sure you give us five stars only, because if we have to compare our star ratings to other podcasts,
game over.
Oh my God. We don't need that. We don't need that spiral. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram. Click the link in our bio at I Can Explain Podcast. You'll find merch, our Patreon. We really appreciate it. Even if you can give us $1 a month, it would mean the world to us. If you can't, we really appreciate you supporting us in other ways, like sharing us on social media, telling your friends about us. Any way that you can spread the good gay word, we appreciate you. You can also follow us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brian Williamson. And until next time, we will
see you around the gay brotherhood. But we won't compare our houses.